if your creativity is not solving any problem, not providing any solutions, it's not a creativity. It's not creative.
Welcome to Crazy Smart Asia, the unexpected stories of Asia's disruptors. I'm your host, Chong Xiaowei. Every week, we talk with a young leader about the crazy smart approaches they're taking to achieve success and tackle some of the biggest issues facing Asia today. This week, we're continuing our series of special episodes that were recorded on stage at the inaugural Tatler Genti Summit, an ideas and innovation festival for Asia's most impactful entrepreneurs. Creativity, a dirty word at school which can be wrongly seen as a footnote for an easier life, denoted for those of us who wanted to pursue a future in art, music, literature, theatre. But in business, this couldn't be further from the truth. Time and time again, we've found that the world's best entrepreneurial minds that join us on this show are also extremely creative and cited as their problem-solving superpower. Taiwanese celebrity chef Andre Chiang and entrepreneur Syed Asim Hussein of Hong Kong's Black Sheep discussed their impressive culinary journeys and the future of gastronomy. Here's their conversation with Johannes Pong, a food and travel editor, on the recipe for keeping the creative flame alive.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we have two legends over here. One is Andre Chiang.
Hello.
Celebrity chef. You might have heard of his restaurants, but you might not have been able to book. Raw in Taipei, there's the bridge on a very old bridge that Marco Polo wrote about in Chengdu. And there's Burnt Ends, there's Zen, and then there's Sichuan Moon at the Wind Palace in Macau, currently under renovation. Over here we have Syed Asim Hussein, principal Black Sheep of Black Sheep Restaurant Group. If you've been in Hong Kong, you've definitely been to one of his restaurants. So there's beautiful Magistracy, the old courthouse in Dai Kun. And then there's my personal favorite, Garçon Saigon. I just love it. It's a Vietnamese grill.
Thank you.
So many. What else? There's the new Fuchsia Dunlop collab, Grand Majestic Sichuan. And so, yes, we're going to, and you've got almost over 40 restaurants in Hong Kong.
Yes, right? 40, not 30 tomorrow. Tomorrow, last night said 30. Don't take
so,
that away from me.
Backstories. Who wants to go first? Andre.
Please. My backstory is, my parents are Taiwanese. I was born in Taiwan, and I left Taiwan when I was 13 and arrived in Japan. I worked with my mom in the kitchen, a Chinese restaurant, and I went to France when I was 15. So from 15 onwards, I only worked in three Michelin star restaurant for the past 25 years. And then I decided to come back to Asia. I opened my own restaurant, Restaurant Entree, and then move on 5 years ago. I decided to return my starts and go back to Taiwan where I was born and digging deep into my culture until now. So currently we have seven restaurants across Asia and all different type of cuisines concept. And I believe that every restaurant should be there to change the dynamic of the industry and to move to inspire the young crowd. So we never repeat the same concept in every continent. Yeah, that's the backstory of Andre.
And your origin story? What possessed you to go into F&B?
I don't know, man. I wish I hadn't. Hey, I was.
I think we all started from a restaurant background, right? From our parents.
Yes, yes.
So that's how we all started.
I wasn't very good at anything growing up. No talents. But I'm the son and grandson of immigrant entrepreneurs, and you know, I have the privilege now of talking about passion and creativity and all these amazing words. But for my parents, they were just trying to put food on the table for us. So they did many things. And one of the things that they did was they had two restaurants in Hong Kong when I was growing up in the late 80s and the 90s. And the seed was planted then. I was born to do this. This thing is in my blood and bones. You know, it's not hospitality, isn't what something that we do. This thing is us. I was born to do this, play this silly restaurant game. You know, I'm sort of jumping ahead. You're going to say, one of the quiz questions is, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? I'd be working for someone else doing this if I wasn't working for myself. I used to work in finance, and I wasn't very good at that either. So this is, you know, the Greeks call this eudaimonia, and this is my mission and my purpose. This is why I'm
Thank here. You, Asim. Andre, you've mentioned one time that, you know, you want to do something 1,000 times to be successful. Way to success is to do something.
Yes.
1,000 times.
Yes.
So what inspires you to keep going on when the going gets tough in the kitchen?
For me, it's pretty simple. This is one thing I do, and then I'm passionate about what I do. And every time when people ask me, you know, one thing that you will give to the younger generation, I always said that, you know, first of all, you like what you do, and you give 120%, and then do what you like. You find something that you love, and then you give everything you have, and don't look back. And this is what I do. I don't believe in talent. Same as Asim. We work in a hard way, and and I believe that practice makes perfect. So everything I do, I practice until I found the confidence, and until I know that I can do better than anyone else, then that's it, and then it goes.
You mentioned last time you had a little breakdown at the airport.
I thought that was in confidence.
Was it?
Are you telling him? No, it wasn't.
But, you know, you were mentioning if you weren't being in the restaurant business, what would you do? And you were almost going to give it all up. You were like, why am I doing this? Maybe it was just super stressful. What brought you back? What kind of fueled your passion again?
There are parts and pieces of me that completely hate this thing that I do on bad days. Like I you know, my team's there. Hi, guys. You know, I love these guys. These guys are to say that their family is an understatement. They mean a lot more to me than that. We're very passionate creatives, but there are days when I completely. I use the F word a lot. I want to say it, but I won't use it. He said I can only say it once. But there are days when there are days where I want to give up. You know, I was flying to. We do a lot of work with the Swiss hotel schools, and I was flying to Switzerland for recruitment, but I was going to stop over in Turkey for a few days, and I'd really packed my day because I was going to be away for a few weeks. And I got to the airport at a crazy day. I was running all over the city, maybe like 15, 16 meetings. I do this to myself. And, you know, on some days, there's no balance between giving and receiving. And that was one of those days. I was not happy. My team wasn't happy. I got a little bit of feedback from the team. I got a few letters of complaints from guests. Just no balance in giving and receiving. I said to myself, I don't want to do this anymore. It makes no sense. And I feel emotional even saying this to you, sharing this with you guys right now. I said, I want to quit. I don't want to.
What brought you back then?
Istanbul brought me back. The beauty of the city, the people, the culture, the art, the architecture. I spent time with a Turkish winemaker. He was making wine for the French. For decades, and he went back to his city on the outskirts of Bodrum, and he got his entire village together, and now they have 100 families that are making this very special, specific wine. So much so that in the last 10 years, they've discovered two new indigenous Turkish grapes. And that stuff's forever. That stuff is forever. And just hanging out with him, drinking wine with him brought me back. You know.
So alcohol.
Alcohol. But I think that... beyond rest, I've learned that I need to do things that I have to do to fill the creative cup beyond rest. I need to make time and space for creative play.
For both of you guys, I suppose you're artists. You're creating literally works of art for people to consume.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So, you all have huge teams. I think Black Sheep might have more because there's 40 restaurants. How do you manage and motivate your massive teams, Andre?
Okay. How to manage and motivate your team? You don't manage and motivate your team. You manage their goal, and then you motivate their dreams. You don't manage your team, because there will be a million things that you've been like managing every single day. So you manage their goal. You need to know that they need to find the purpose of what they do, you know, who they want to become. So you manage their goals. And to motivate their dreams, they want to know what's their dream of working under you, working in you know what they're doing every single day, 9 to 5. So you need to create that. Being an entrepreneur, being a leader of the team of the pack, you need to create that. You need to make sure you motivate, and they know that every single day they're moving one step closer to their dreams. And that's what we do.
Would you say you're like a mentor to...
Well, we're everything. But I think the most important thing is we really need to think of that, because everyone coming into the team, they have different goals. They have different dreams. And, you know, and believe me, it's not the same as yours. And they're not there to achieve your dreams. They want theirs too. Mm. So how do you manage that? How do you motivate that, and then you are working towards the same direction and yet slightly different, and how do you give them enough nutrient to do so? That's what I'm thinking every day, and so I don't manage my team.
And how about you? How do you whip?
I'm getting to a position now where I'm not really in charge. I'm a part of the creative process. But I have a few others now that kind of sort of write the stories of our restaurants. My main responsibility is that I'm looking after people in my charge. And that doesn't mean sort of butterflies and rainbows. Sometimes it's the gooey stuff, but sometimes it's also firmness and fairness and encouragement. And that is sort of my main responsibility, that I'm looking after people in my charge. We have a big team now, 1,200 people. Just making sure that all of us are moving forward in the same direction. I'm a big culture person. Culture over strategy any day of the week. Culture, 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 culture. I'm really proud of this. We have a tremendous sense of community around the work that we do. That's the number one thing about us. It's not the food or the wine or the design of the restaurants. It's not that. It's how we make people feel. Our business is a very emotional business. And when we do this thing well, I'm creating, causing a happy feeling in your belly. And when we do that, we've done our job. And in so many ways, it's a very primitive business. People looking after people through the medium of food and wine.
So you feel the DNA of Black Sheep Restaurants would be culture. And And then obviously when you go to an Andre, that's, they want to see your point of view. They want to experience your point of view, you know, on that dish in the restaurant. But all that is amazing. Usually when we go, we're excited, we're with friends. We have wine, we have beautiful food. We've got amazing service. What is work life like behind the glam of fine dining or like?
Can I jump in? Can I say this? So I have a dear friend. I went to boarding school in Pakistan. I have a dear friend that visited me last week and spent 2 days with me. And he didn't say this, but I know secretly he was here because he wants to get in the food business. And he wants to take Butter and maybe Falcone and maybe New Punjab Club to Pakistan. And he spent 1 day with me. And he said, I didn't think that this is what the business was about. You know, people, I think, sometimes think that it's about beautiful people and music and lighting. And it's really not about that. We're all in the gutter, covered in mud, morning, afternoon, and night. You know, literal and metaphoric. I've had the privilege of winning Restaurateur of the Year from Tatler a few times. And the first time I won the award, we were small at that time, but just opened our fourth restaurant, Holy Fook. And we were all working in service at that time. You know, I just recently stopped working in the restaurants. I used to be on the front lines, and I'm still there, but not really working actively in service. Anyway, won this big award from Tatler, Restaurateur of the Year. I had to rush back into service, and that night, do you guys remember this? There was flooding at Holy Fook. So Holy Fook is in the basement of a 20-story building, and everything kind of, the sewage system of the building kind of like backflowed into the restaurant. So Chris, who is my co-founder, said, "Hey, welcome back, Restaurateur of the Year," as we're trying to like reset the restaurant for the next night. So I don't know. It's for you guys, for the guests, for consumers, it's really fun. It's sexy. It's romantic. It's intimate. But for us, it's tough. It's tough. Sorry, you want to add?
What about you, Andre?
It's just like managing mathematics. Every day, 9 o'clock in the morning until midnight, 15 hours a day. My phone is on 24/7. I work more than 300 days a year. Every restaurant, we create about 100 to 186 dishes average in a year. So three restaurants is 558 new dishes a year from the spring. So that's our everyday, and yet being happy and positive. That's our life behind the glamour.
And we don't, often we get paid back in the same token, in the same coin. We get gratitude and acclaim and love, but not always. Sometimes the feedback, whether it's critical or guest feedback, is a little bit tough. And this is an emotional business. So, you know, you're saying you're creating 500 things from here, but they're also coming from here.
Definitely.
Right? These are very personal expressions of things that are important to you. And then, I don't know why I'm saying this, but then we get accused of being inauthentic sometimes. Or maybe you don't, but I do. Or being disconnected. Or, you know, and it's tough. It's an emotional business for us, but it's also an emotional business for guests. You know, food and wine and hospitality invokes this kind of happy feeling. I'll tell one very quick story. So I love planes. I love flying, just because that's the only time I'm not responsible for anything. You know, if there's turbulence, the pilot is not going to come back and say, "Hey, like, we need help flying the plane." So I love flying just for that reason. I was flying back from Singapore, and I sat next to someone that wanted to give me feedback the entire flight back. And it was mostly good. It was mostly good, but I didn't want it. I didn't need it. I didn't need it that day. You know, it's my plane time. Why are you ruining it?
Thank you, Asim, for your wonderful, authentic storytelling. And Andre.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much, Johannes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Did you have anything to add?
I think the last thing that was said is being creative. For me personally, there's no creativity. It's not such an abstract topic. Is creativity is better solution, and then we're all entrepreneurs. Every day what we do is finding a better solution. If your creativity is not solving any problem, not providing any solutions, is not a creativity. It's not creative. And then if you find your life is tough, if your job is boring, and maybe it's time to be creative. Thank you.
Very true. Thank you, guys.
That's it for yet another episode of Crazy Smart Asia. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to follow us wherever you're listening to this. Crazy Smart Asia is produced by Josie Kota and edited, mixed, and mastered by Ben Beheshti. Genty's digital editor is Valerie Lim. Crazy Smart Asia is hosted by me, Chong Xiao Wei. In the meantime, do remember,
you don't manage and motivate your team. You manage their goal and then you motivate their dreams. You don't manage your team.
See you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.